When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Vinny, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Look, I am blessed to be on the, you know, an NBA podcast with, you know, guys who were writers and not athletes. You know, I feel like this is like, you know, unicorn-ish.
I know.
We don't exist anymore.
No, you're right about that.
And we're black. That's like that's the third rail of all this shit.
I know, right? Oh, my God.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
It's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. It is cold as hell here today. It's about 7-8 wind chill in the Bay. My man Marcus Thompson is probably like 60 there, and you complaining, right?
It's about 55, and yeah, I'm complaining. Like, what the hell is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the one day it was a nice day, and maybe it was perspective more than actual weather. Clay day.
No, of course. Nice weather, oh, clay God day. God wanted there to be nice weather when Clay came back.
You know, something was out on Clay Day.
Oh, God.
Or maybe that was just the disposition of the area. You know, I don't know. The next day, it's back to a bit of gloom.
Exactly.
I will say this. This is Hoops Adjacent, so I can go a little bit off topic. Major, major feat since the last time I talked to you, DA. Huge. I mean, this is...
All right.
It's mega. I left my backpack in the car by mistake, and nobody broke into my car.
Damn.
Damn. I thought it was over. I was like, that's it. I already started plotting. Okay, I need to get a new backpack. I go to the car, and the Joker was still in there, window intact and everything.
Backseat or front seat?
Breaking news.
They getting soft in the Bay, Marcus.
Yeah, or Vinny, they know. They was like, no, I'm just playing. That ain't it for sure.
That ain't it.
No, you know what that's called? Bulletproof, crowbar-proof windows.
There you go.
That's what that is.
He got that good glass.
That good glass. Huh? That's that East Oakland glass right there.
Oh, man. You heard our guest this week from Yahoo Sports, our man, Vinny Goodwill. Vinny! What's up, man? It's so good to talk to you again. I don't think I've talked to you since the finals, man.
Isn't this crazy? Like, the legend, Uncle DA, and the dude. You know how long it took for me, David, to get a book from Marcus Thompson?
How long?
I just got it, like, last week.
Hey, he got, like, four of them, by the way. He kept doing it. I kept sending them. I didn't even get it. So it's probably four books that went in the D for like $40, $59.99.
Yo, who went this dynasty?
I got watches. I got cool water. I got that new dynasty, baby.
He kept sending them to the wrong address. They probably just kept getting sent back. Man, I don't think he sent them to me. I think he was just stocking them up for his office because it looked like he got a few copies behind him.
All I'm saying is, I know the hustle. You should have just said, "Hey man, send me 10. I'll get them off and I'll get you a cut." You know, we've been out the trunk our whole lives, so ain't nothing new now. Ain't nothing new now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man.
Hey, so, but DA, can we just start this podcast by saying, like, and me and you can both share in this.
Yes.
Man, look at our guy, Vinny, man. Look how Vinny's all grown up, man. Like,
I know. He's a dude now.
Vinny is like the man. Like, I remember you when you was a little, you know what I'm saying, knee high to a grasshopper. Young dude on the beat, you know what I'm saying, with the backwards cap and everything. I was like, yeah, this is one of my guys right here. Now look at him, big national reporter. All right.
I know, breaking news and whatnot. I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like having the whole Twitter universe come at him about something he write about, and then they later got to come back and be like, all right, you was right.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That one.
Wait. What? There's problems on the Rockets? Really? No. Are you serious? Really?
Newsflash. Newsflash.
Come a long way, brother. You've put together a great career.
It's fantastic.
Hopefully it ain't over. You know what I mean? Because we dropping about it like black folks in the media business. We dropping by the day out here, man. Oh. We are unicorns.
I know. We were talking before before we started, man. This is probably a first. Three non-athlete black men talking about basketball. I don't even think that was allowed till about 5 minutes ago. You know,
we had, nobody out here yelling.
Can't get a letter from the FCC about this. Like,
exactly. It's just entirely too much melanin on your podcast. You need to reduce it by it. Yeah, it's unusual in our business, but it is what it is. So, I'm just happy, Marcus, that we got new ownership. So I'm happy. So.
Oh, that's right.
We out here.
Yeah,
we out here.
Y'all work for the New York Times now.
Sort of, kind of. It's hard to put on a business card.
Say that. We ain't allowed to say that. We got to say that we were bought by the New York Times.
Right.
I was in the middle of my tattoo, Vinny, when we got that email. It said Times Life across my stomach. And it was like, bro, you can't be out here saying that. I'm like, damn. Until I got that Times Life.
So you just made it. Chest. You just made it the time because you like Morris Day. That's what
you know what I'm saying? The time, right? Yeah. This is why they don't get three non-athletes on, because we start acting crazy.
Yep. You Afro-Americans.
I know, right? All right. So actually, I want to start with the saga of the Atlanta Hawks as we kind of get to this trade deadline. And our boy Spears broke some stuff on ESPN on Tuesday about how Philly's trying to attach Tobias Harris, like, you know, like a throw-in, like you got to take him too if you want Ben Simmons. Like, and Atlanta ain't trying to hear that. But I do know this. This is not anything new. The Hawks have not. They've been. They have felt like they thought they were kind of funky all year. This is not like this just happened last week. They have been like something. I'm not sure. I'm not sure this is right. You know, all year. But to me, I wouldn't trade John Collins for Ben Simmons. I'll just put it that way. Like, I don't get it. But Vinny, educate me. Tell me where I'm wrong.
I wouldn't either. And I don't even know if John Collins is the player you got to watch. Yeah. I think Cam Reddish is the player that you have to watch that's going to be moved soon. Now, granted, he's not. That's not the big salary that's going to be needed to make one of these blockbuster trades. But the John Collins situation over there always seemed kind of funky in last year's conference finals run, kind of, you know, put a little perfume on it. And you were always hearing stuff about, you know, maybe he wanted a bigger role and the fit between him and Trae Young wasn't always, you know, so great. But, you know, being down there and winning sort of cures all ills, right? But they're not winning right now. You know what I mean? They are not in the spot in the Eastern Conference. The East has gotten a lot better. And the Hawks have sort of predictably gone back and fell back to the Mendoza line. So you're going to hear some of these same things sort of, you know, creep up. Trae Young is a high usage player. You know, he dominates the ball a lot for good reason. You know what I mean? For very good reason when you look at his production. But that also means when you have young players, and we've all covered young teams with young players wanting to feel themselves. And John Collins looks at it and is like, look, I want the ball more. I want to be able to create and dance. You're looking at the numbers and you're like, okay, you're 20-10. And he's like, I can do more if you let me rock. So he probably is looking at a place, well, look, let me rock a little bit. So, and it's human nature. And I think that's where we are now. But Ben Simmons for John Collins, who's saying no? Everybody.
Right.
You wait. Right.
Not Philly.
I mean, Philly would do it.
It
I'm
should
sure.
be Philly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but
Philly should do that.
I don't know. To me, like, I know Atlanta's bad defensively. They got problems there. And I don't know how you fix it necessarily. But to add another non-shooter with Capella, how does that work? You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't seem to work for me. Like, unless you're going to move Capella too. And
it takes the ball to Trey's hands. And is Trey giving up the rock?
Right. Right. Right.
No, has there been any indication that Trey wants to give up the rock at all?
No. None. None. And I don't blame him. I mean, look, he was terrific last year.
You think Ben Simmons wants to come in and be number two to Trae Young's number one?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see Ben just sitting at the dunker spot. Let's put it that way.
The difficulty is Ben can't do that.
Exactly. Right?
Like, you need him to be on the ball. And while, like, in theory, Trae will be good off the ball because he can shoot, the magic of Trae really ain't the shot. It's the right. dimes, right? It's the right. vision
it's the combined lob to with the shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So no, to kind of strip off that part of Trae's game would be counterproductive to me.
Yeah.
But do they want a secondary shot creator because you don't want to put everything on Trae Young? Are you trying to dial back his usage, turn him into more, shall we say, lack of a better phrase, a Steph Curry off the ball type of player, where he can become more effective if he's running off screens and creating that action? But there's only one Steph Curry that can do that. And it's mm-hmm. comfortable doing that. And its right. ego is saying, oh, that's cool. I don't got to be on the ball. Like the people part of this business is for me where Daryl Morey got this all wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the people part of this business is where the Hawks get it right. If you put Ben Simmons and Trae Young together, I don't see how that
also,
works.
Also, Trae's 5'11". Steph is 6'3", like one's 190, one's about 175. Like it's different to tell Trae to go off the ball.
It's funny you mention that, Marcus. I've said this to people for a long time. Steph is sneaky tall. Like, you look at him on the floor, and it looked like he's about 5'9", 5'9". You know, like.
I remember asking Dwayne Wade. We were talking about it, and I'm like, Steph had a dunk or something. It might have been on the Heat. But I'm like, Dwayne, what was it like, you know, Steph getting a dunk? Or, you know, Steph was obviously super hype about dunking, so it was a big deal. Yeah. Dwayne Wade was like, why y'all acting like this dude is small? Like, Steph's 6'3", 6'4"? Like, of course he can dunk. Like, it never really hit me until it was like, you know what? Like, you know, this ain't Muggsy Bogues we talking about
right,
here.
Right,
like,
right.
Right. Nah, I bet that's
he's
right.
Tall
that's
and right. He's tall and he's long. That's the thing. He's got long limbs. He's not a compact 6'3".
And he's put on that muscle. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something. You were talking about, Vinny, the secondary ball handler, and it had me thinking, one of the guys who, you know, obviously the reports are talking about it, but that makes sense to be moved right now is Jeremy Grant, right? This is very clearly Cade's team, right? And oddly enough, like, Jeremy Grant came to the Pistons for the same reason John Collins is saying, like, yo, let me cook,
I'm
right?
I'm the man. Let me be the man.
Right.
Where do you think is a good landing spot for him? Do you think now is a good time to move him and maybe kind of get some pieces for him? Because it's very clear where this franchise is going next. And I think you tweeted about it. Like, he's got to shoot 40% from three, and he's at 39.
Well, he's at 30. He's at not 39 for the year. Cade, he's at 39 since December. So he's showing that Cade can be a superstar player because he's not a superstar athlete. And it's not a perfect comp, but a relative comp for Cade to me is Dame Lillard, where Dame is not a super athlete, but he's a better athlete than Cade, but Cade is bigger. You know, Dame will dunk on you, but you ain't worried about Dame really cooking you from there. The threat from Dame is a third of the shot. And I think that's where Cade's sort of pro skill is going to be that makes him a superstar. But for Jeremy Grant, I don't know if the Pistons want to trade him. Yeah. I think teams are calling. Now, that puts you in an advantageous spot as an organization where you're going to take the best deal possible. Like, if you want to trade them and everybody knows you want to trade them, you're going to get the poo-poo platter. And we done seen plenty of poo-poo platter trades over the years where a team is just trying to get rid of a dude. Troy Weaver has some D.C. roots with Jeremy Grant, and is very fond of him. So I don't think he's looking to move him. But if someone makes him an offer he can't refuse, I think you got to think about it. But I don't think whether it's the Lakers or the Knicks or a couple of teams, nobody's put their best offer on the table yet. Nobody's done anything to make the Pistons actually think. And ideally, he's a third option scorer who can steal the
on a good team
because he's not a great rebounder, but you can defend him at anywhere from 2 to 4. He's a third option, but you can still score 20. In my opinion, as a third option, you've just got to be committed to that. Yeah. And everybody needs a wing defender nowadays that can be versatile.
Yeah.
Hey, I was watching that Utah game, and he wasn't on the court. I didn't notice he was gone. That's all. I was like, hey, this Sadiq Bey kid is pretty good, man. Hold on.
Now, I like him. I love Sadiq Bey. He is mean. And when I say that in, like, the nicest way possible.
Right.
And somebody, and yeah, you'll like this. Someone made the comparison. They said his demeanor is very Adrian Dantley-like.
Oh, yeah.
Know what I mean? Where you're not going to rattle him. You're not going to rattle him. He's going to be there. Yeah. And not the games being similar, but just sort of the approach. And you need that approach, especially on a young team, somebody that's serious. And basically, we can cuss on here. Somebody ain't taking no shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's Sadiq Bey. And yeah, him putting up numbers basically since the middle of December.
Yeah.
That makes a guy like Jeremy Grant a little more expendable. Or it says, you know what, if we make this move, we're not assed out at that 3-4 spot. You know, we don't want to trade him, we don't want to lose him, but we're not up the creek. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not taking steps back, especially as a rebuilding team. You don't want to sell to your fan base, yeah, this guy that we just signed last year for $20 million that we said was going to be a face of the rebuild. Now we're going to go the Sam Presti route and just everything must go.
right. Yeah.
Detroit ain't buying that shit.
I actually think, and they've been rumored, I think the Wizards would make sense for Jeremy Grant. I think he would make a lot of sense because KCP is really the only wing defender they have. To have a second wing defender who can shoot would make a lot of sense. Now, the thing I don't know, and I've asked people this the last few days, is could he and Kuzma play together? I'm not sure. So, and I'm not saying I think that it's impossible. I'm just saying I'm not sure. So it's not a normal fit. I'll put it that way.
I think they have the length to do it, and you can switch a lot. And Kuzma's a good enough rebounder.
Yes.
And Grant isn't. Like, the one thing with Grant, you just, hey, as long as your man don't get the rebound, we good.
Yeah.
He's that type of defender. But if you have the length and you can switch and you can play a little 3-4, someone's going to have to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. But Kuz likes to cook.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right. Kuz ain't passing up no shots. And Jeremy Grant didn't leave Denver to start passing up shots.
Right. right. And you got that Beal guy who might want to shoot the ball every once in a while.
A little bit. He might get a few off.
You know what I mean? So I'm not sure that works, but it's intriguing.
And the fit between Dinwiddie and Beal has been kind of funky so far.
That's been weird, man. I can't figure out what's going on with that because that should be a natural fit. Like, it should be not, I'm not taking turns, but that should be a natural flow between the two of them. If one guy's got the rock, the other guy decoys and vice versa. And there should, but it's not. Dinwiddie plays one way when Brad's not on the floor, and he plays completely differently when Brad is on the floor. And it's noticeable. It's obvious. The numbers back it up. It's weird. And I don't know what the problem is between the two of them right now. Don't know.
It's deferential. And Dinwiddie's too confident to be consistently deferential.
Yes. Exactly.
Like, he's an outwardly confident dude. Like, I had this dude when he was a rookie in the 15th man, and he was talking as if he had it all figured out. And now that he's got his deal, I'm like, okay, now you can flex. Now you can really, you know, show it a little bit more. And he hasn't. He only does it when Beal is out. I wonder if that's just does Brad take up that much oxygen in the room?
I mean, I think everybody defers to Brad. They understand they're the new guys. He's the one that's been there the longest. They respect that, the loyalty piece. And they really do try to defer to him, but I think there's way too much deferring going on. And like you said, Spencer, it makes no sense for him to play if he's not going to be Spencer. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's got to be Spencer Dinwiddie, which is, I can score anytime I want on anybody. And if that's delusional, good. That's who he is. That's how he got the bag. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He believes it. He really does believe it. And he's shown that he can score, on just about everybody. So why do you stop doing that when Brad's on the floor? It doesn't make sense. It's weird.
And Wes Unseld Jr. has been on him about being more aggressive. Like, he's got, seems like he's gotten the green light
Yeah.
It's one of the odd things because usually the coach is telling guys, hey, don't shoot so much.
Right. Right.
And he's getting the green light and he's like, nah, I'll take this car. She's yellow. Right. You know what I mean? Like something, the math ain't mathing, as the kids would say.
Vinny, what, as we get close to the deadline, are there two, let's get Simmons off the table for a second. Are there guys or teams that you think are definitely going to do something just from what you're hearing?
In the past couple weeks, Jaylen Brown's name has popped up a lot for me. And if you're Boston, you're going to make the choice. I suppose you're going to choose Jason Tatum, although I don't think the difference is as wide as people naturally assume between the two. Mm-hmm. When your best player's best shot is a step back contested 20-footer and he doesn't get to the line, like, I kind of need something a little better than that. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of need something a little better than that. But if Boston has made the decision that we've gone as far as we can go with these two guys being our 1A and 1B, and we don't know what type of executive Brad Stevens is, yeah, that's a name that's really interesting to me. I'll tell you another one. Down in New Orleans, Brandon Ingram is a name that has surfaced to me from a bunch of executives. And I'm very curious what his value is, you know, across the league, because a couple of years ago it was like Tatum or Ingram. Like which guy, almost stylistically, which guy do you want? And New Orleans is in a curious situation because we all, you know, nobody would be surprised if there was change in New Orleans at the top after the end of the season. Yeah. So do you have permission to trade someone like Brandon Ingram? Or do you trade Brandon Ingram as like the last ditch effort to, you know, to save a little face? Like, I'm very curious. Like, to me, those are the biggest names. Simmons aside, those are the two biggest all-star caliber names that to me, I won't say make a lot of sense, but those are the names that I've been hearing.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Curious, to me, Ingram makes the most sense, right? Like, if I'm Ingram, I'm like, yo, put my name in there.
But
I'm trying to... I wonder, and look, I'm reaching here. I am reaching. I'm throwing this out there out of curiosity, but we're watching teams like Atlanta, like who were supposed to be good, be disappointing, and you start wondering: are they struggling, or are there real issues? And one of the teams that I keep coming back to is the New York Knicks. Should they entertain a Julius Randle move? He's getting booed right now. by his squad, or should they just figure out ways to get him some help? But obviously New York is tough, but he just signed an extension, and I think the Atlanta Hawks kind of, you know, exposed something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I mean, one thing about Tibbs, and Tibbs has a lot of warts and a lot of flaws. Tibbs never bails on his best player. Remember the whole Minnesota thing with Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, yeah.
If Tibbs ever got married, he would be trying to make that thing work while he walking in on her with Brad Pitt. Like, baby, we can do this. You know what I mean? Like, he don't abandon his best player. You know what I mean? So I don't I think Tibbs has a lot of sway in that organization. I think he has a lot of, you know, say power, but he has a lot of agency over there, you know, with Leon Rose and Worldwide Wester. Those are his guys. So I don't think he would be angling to move Julius Randle. Now, the question I have for you guys is what we saw from Julius Randle last year, like, is that the high mark? Or is that like something that he couldn't duplicate? Was that like,
I feel like, you know, that's lightning the question, in a bottle? Right? I feel like that is the question to me. Like, was that the beginning of something or
the end? Yeah, fair question. And I don't know the answer. I don't know.
I feel like he could be better in a spot where he's not the best player.
So in my mind, it's kind of a waste of Julius Randle to put him in this position, like where he's over his head, in a sense, especially in New York, right? Where they're going to make you feel you know what I'm saying? Like that, they're going to let you know. It's not going to be a place like Oklahoma City where they're going to have your back and they're going to carry you as the greatest player of all time, no matter what the truth is. Like, Knicks going to let you know.
ain't no grace. Like, that's a word I've been using in my personal life a lot lately. Grace. Ain't a whole lot of grace in New York City.
Nah, you know what I'm saying?
With Julius Randle.
But he's a really good player. Like, instantly, you put him on a team with another player, they're instantly moving up. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's just like, this is one of those situations where you can let it play out for 3 years and be like, nah, we good. Remember when we went to the playoffs that year? Remember that? Or you can see what it is and handle it early. But it just feels unfair to me that Julius Randle was out here like basically taking on New York by himself, like waiting on RJ Barrett to become, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Well, this gets back to when teams, one of the hardest things the teams have to do is to really self-scout. Like, how good are your players really? You know what I mean? Like, whether you drafted them or signed for them or traded for them or not, you got to be really sober about evaluating your own guys. You know, like, and if they're like, well, RJ Barrett's going to be a superstar because we drafted him or because he came here, or Obi Toppin's going to be a star because we drafted him, or Quickley's going to be a star because we drafted him. Okay, but they better turn into that. You know what I'm saying? Like, to your point, that's the kind of deal you made with Julius Randle, is that these young guys were going to get to another level. I haven't quite seen that yet from those young guys.
And not even that. I think the greater point is the Eastern Conference has become the dominant conference of the two. Where you could slide by last year, and you could win a couple games by the skin of your chinny-chin-chin, you ain't doing that no more. Chicago's here. Cleveland is here. Miami ain't never left. You know what I mean? Right. Like David, I don't know about you.
Just beat Milwaukee twice.
Philly didn't die like we thought they might, right? Philly's like, yo, we still here.
like Uncle David, I'm to the point of my national beat right in life where I'm rooting for Miami. I want the warm weather.
you know what I'm saying?
That's good for me, of course.
Hey, Vinny wants that Miami Warriors final. That's what Miami Lakers final, you know, Phoenix, hey, you're not losing as a national writer coming out the West this year. You might end up in a really nice spot.
Hey, no Denver, no Utah.
Don't sleep on Salt Lake, my brother.
I've heard stories. I've heard stories.
Don't sleep on Salt Lake.
Hey, don't be talking too loud, y'all. Don't get yourself in no trouble out here. I am the only single man.
Speaking of Utah,
I'm talking about the scenery, bro.
I'm glad you brought Utah up because, man, certainly sounds like Joe Ingles is available, I get it. I understand why they're trading him, but damn, that dude can shoot the rock.
You know what that says to me? I think that says, does that say, and you tell me if I'm wrong, DA, because I'm going to defer to you. Does that say we need a better creator alongside Donovan Mitchell so it doesn't fall all on him?
Yes. Right. It does say that. But I'm not around Utah every day, but to me, you can explain away Utah losing to the Clippers, to me, last year in the playoffs. Mike Conley makes such a difference. A healthy Mike Conley. Let me say that.
Yes.
A healthy Mike Conley. They're a completely different team with Mike Conley. Completely different. And so to me, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I get it. You could you might need another creator to take the heat off of Mitchell, but you already have that. You got that. It's just that you just have to get him to May. You know, that's been the problem with Mike, is getting him to May.
Right.
In one piece. You know, if you can get him to May, bubble wrap him, do whatever you have to. They are pretty damn good. So to me, I don't know. It's not like it's going to destroy their chemistry or anything like that if they trade Ingles. I just think they're really good with Mike Conley healthy.
But how good can really good get you when arguably the two teams in the NBA are Golden State and Phoenix? And the one thing I hate, and that's, I've hated this since I was a kid, I hate these punk-ass GMs that are satisfied with being a fourth seed, second-round team, and then we go home. Go for it.
Man, leave Neil O'Shea alone. He ain't do nothing. He out of a job. Like, he just...
That's the one thing I said about Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey was the one guy in the West when the Warriors were at the top peak flex Warriors.
He was like, let's go.
He's like, let's go. Let's go. I'm going to bring in every dude I can to mess with KD's head, to get in his way, you know, like, and he came damn close to beating him, you know, like, I give him credit for that.
That's like seeing Kelly Rowland, who's like my celebrity crush. That's like seeing Kelly Rowland on the street. You're like, I ain't got no shot at him. But
I'm a holler anyway.
If the sunlight hit me just right, if this line just hit her just right,
if the Holy Spirit moves me and the right words come out,
So that's the one. Have you ever been in Kelly Rowland's presence?
Luckily, I have not.
All right. So which celebrity would you shoot your shot against? Would it be her or would it be somebody else?
Now, Kelly's married.
Oh,
so
right.
Nia Long was my longtime celebrity crush, but you can't do that no more. You know what I mean? You can't do that no more.
Vinny. I'm cool as a fan. I'm from East Oakland. I don't get rattled by nothing, right? I'm walking in the halls of San Antonio Spurs Stadium in a playoff series, and I'm walking. Next thing I know, here comes Nia Long the other way. Yo, I completely I turned into like a Michael Jackson fan. I was like, I couldn't breathe. I was
like a Scandinavian teenage girl.
Like, what the heck is happening to me, right? Like, hey, you know how it's a circle, like the back, like, so she just came around the corner. I'm like, is that me? I was like, yeah, I wasn't so cool no more. I'm like, what the heck happened to me?
Take off your cool. Is that what that was?
Bruh, that cool fell off. That cool fell off like old skin. I was like, geez, be along in the building. My bad.
Oh my God!
And we can't say that no more because now she's part of like the extended NBA family.
She's
in the family. So a couple years ago, Jay Adonde and I were in LA. He said he had tickets to see. He had tickets for some reason. He had tickets to go see Maxwell at Staples Center. He's like, "You want to go see Maxwell?" And I'm like, yeah, "All right, so fine, we'll go see Maxwell." So we get there, we sit down. Seats are pretty good. Not on the floor, but. Fine. The seats are fine. They're fine. So Maxwell's doing his thing, and it's like 60, 65% women in there. And of course, I understand. I'm not, it's fine. So it's a good concert that's going on. And Jay elbows me about 40 minutes in, and he goes, look over there. And I'm like, what? He said, look over there. And I said, what am I looking at? And he said, it's Halle Berry over there. And I look over, and there's a woman sitting next to a very large man who is obviously her bodyguard. Clearly is her bodyguard, right?
Perspective, right?
So I'm like, that's not Halle Berry. That's not no Halle Berry. And so Maxwell starts singing. He sings whatever he's singing, and he says, turn the lights up. Turn the lights up. I want to see all the beautiful ladies out here. Turn the lights up. Turn the lights up. And they turn the lights up, and I look over again. Oh, my God, that's Halle Berry. It is Halle Berry. Oh, shit.
It's
Halle Berry.
D.A. fainted at the thing.
Oh, my God. Like a church woman. Like, oh, Holy Ghost got into me. Oh, no. Help me. Jesus, help me.
They was doing London Bridges on D.A. at the Maxwell concert.
Oh, dear Lord, she's so fine. Look,
oh my God.
She's like extra level fine. Like, I wouldn't even shoot my shot. I just bow.
Yeah, that's a different category there.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I was just babbling.
She one of them types where it's like, my daddy, when I was coming up, my daddy had these fascinating, like, Lena Horne came on the TV and he would just stop, right? And I'd be like, all right, daddy, you know, he's a cute old lady, but he was like, nah, you don't understand. Like, Hallie gonna be 75 and we ain't gonna have to say she used to be hot, right? Like, it's gonna be the same reaction.
She on that Helen Mirren plan, like, she's gonna be fine forever. Yes,
exactly, right? You know, like, 92, she taking off her clothes, you're like, what?
You bow in front of her. You say, may I kiss the royal feet, please? You know, all of that type of shit. Yeah. Like, no. Nah.
See, this is why they don't let three writers get together. Somehow we were talking about the trade, and we end up talking about Halle Berry naked at 92 years old. Like, I don't even understand how we got here.
This is why they don't let three black guys who didn't play.
I'm telling y'all
have a podcast.
And for a while, I was a Beyonce devotee. And then I was like, one day in college, I was like, wait a minute, that one next to her. Now she fine. And I was like, now Kelly Rowland, that's like next door neighbor fine. That's like girl next door fine.
Oh yeah, of course. Oh yeah.
That's like attainable fine, except you can't attain her. It just seems like she's more attainable.
Right? Just because she next to Beyonce, huh? You went with the John Nash theory from A Beautiful Mind, huh?
Oh,
they should have never gave you Negroes a podcast.
You know what I'm saying?
So Russell Westbrook, right?
So LeBron at center. What do the advanced numbers say? Oh man. So yeah, we'll talk about the Lakers some other time because I think Jay's got to go. So we should end it here with our Halle worship. We'll end it here. We'll do this. Vinny, you got to come on again, man.
Look, as long as we get it cleared by the coalitions and everything else, you know.
I promise y'all, next time we get Vinny on, we're going to talk about how in the hell have the Pistons turned Trey Lyles into a player. Like, I thought he was going to be one of the best players out of Kentucky. I've been confused as hell by his career.
Every time a shot go in, I'm like, they playing this 6'8 dude who can't jump at center, and he is doing work. I'm like, magic juice. That's what it is. It's
like what the Pistons are doing, man.
Hey,
I like
Trey Lyles is a hooper now. I'm like, what? It took 7 years. Hey, how Detroit figure this out? We're gonna have a real basketball conversation next time.
Exactly. We're gonna talk about Detroit and the attitude they have, which I love. I love how Troy brings in guys that reflect the city, the toughness. Because that is how you develop a mentality.
Hey, Kate went
as
101 with Donovan, though. That was.
I know, right? See, that's what I like about Miami. Miami's like, this is how we're going to play.
Yep.
And if you can F with us, then fine. But if you can't, you need to get up. You know,
it's a style. It's an identity.
Exactly. So I love it. I love it. Love what they're doing. Vinny, stay safe, my brother. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Always appreciate y'all. Of course.
All right, y'all, leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, if it's less than 5 stars, what do them Raiders need to do?
They need to keep it to themselves, so we're going to flex hecka hard and make you faint like D.A. did at the Maxwell concert
oh
when he saw
Halle Berry. It's Halle Berry. That's Halle Berry.
Hey, Vinny, can you imagine that as poised and calm as D.A. is? Like, that dude saw Halle. All that 30 years of professional training went out the window. He
told you. I didn't even tell you the funny part. I didn't even tell you the funny part. So I didn't even get out of my chair. I didn't even get out of my chair. I just turned toward her. And dude was like, knock up.
He gave you that look, though.